escape, that you may be able to bear it. All right, same verse in the Amplified. And Amplified kind of puts it under a microscope and amplifies it. And it really does it well with this. Amplified, that's one verse. You got a whole sermon right here. So 1 Corinthians 13, for no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Again, powerful passage, a powerful promise in the Word of God. In fact, there's just multiple promises within the single scripture. You know, first of all, just the promise that whatever it is that we're going through, it's going to be common to man. You know, Satan has a right to be here. Remember when Jesus came and the demons cried out, "Have you come to, you know, torment us before the time?" So we know that there is a certain legal right because man fell to Satan. He's got a right to be here. He's got a right, as it were, a lease of time that will be up someday, but to be here for a while. And as we look at this, we understand that within his parameters of being here, he is restricted. God restricts him to the things that we deal with in this life. They've got to be common to man. It's not going to be something that we have absolutely no, that we're defenseless against. The only stuff that he's got in his arsenal are the things that are common. But God is faithful, so that's one thing. We are promised that the stuff that we go through, the trials that we go through, are going to be common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So the other great promise is that you're not going to be tempted beyond what you are able, but that God will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So this is a good, good passage of scripture to hold on to when you're going through trials and tests and different things in your life. You got to realize the ground rules, of some parameters that are here. Now, as you look at this, these, you know, this truth, you know, first of all, it says, no temptation is taking you except such as is common to man. That's probably one of the first tactics of the enemy to make you feel like that. What you're going through, your trial, your test, is somehow unique, and nobody has ever quite had to go through what you're going through. Nobody has really quite had to deal with the extent or quite the circumstances that you're dealing with, that you are somehow uniquely isolated in your trial. And that is a lie. Again, Satan, what is he? He's the father of lies. He's a really good liar. And so that's where we got to go back to the scripture and say, nope, my situation is common to man. You know, I used to say in the olden days, you go to the library and you could look up your trial in a card catalog and you'd see millions of catalogs. Now all you got to do is Google it. And in 0.23 seconds, you'll see millions of references to whatever phrase you type in there. It's common to man. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that are common to man that you have never even heard of. And yet they're common to man. You think, wow, really? I've never even heard of that. And you can Google it and, well, 5 million references and people going through it. It's like, so it, even though just because it might be new to you or you're not familiar with it, doesn't mean that it's not common. We're on a planet of 7+ billion people. It's amazing. You know, especially with the advent of internet and quick searches and things like that, do you see the commonality of stuff? You know? And so that's the first revelation that we got to get, you know, going through our trial, test, whatever it is. It's common. People out there just like you have gone through that stuff. Believers have gone through it and have overcome it. Here's the key. Goes on to say, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's very important to understand that when he says beyond what you are able, to understand what that means in the context of the rest of the Word of God. He's not saying beyond what your natural human strength is able to bear. He's not talking about the ability of your flesh. He's not talking about the strength of your personality even. You're never tempted beyond what you are able. The reason why that is because, well, you could put it this way. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever test or trial you're going through, you could say it like this: I can resist this temptation. I can overcome this trial through Christ who strengthens me. That's how it reconciles. You can go through something and say, this is more than I can handle, like more than I can bear. On the other hand, you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Put those two thoughts together. There's nothing that I'm dealing with that's beyond what I'm able to bear. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not my ability. It's not my strength. It's his strength and ability in me. That's what it says in Hebrews 2. It says, he's been tempted in all points like as we are, and he is able to aid those who are being tempted. The Amplified said, he's able to run to the cry of those who are being tested and tried. So is it beyond what I'm able? Well, it depends. If I'm standing in Ed House, I can get overwhelmed. But when I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that's a whole different dynamic when I'm wrestling against those powers and principalities. In the power of his might, his strength. So as it comes to tests and trials of life and the ability to overcome, the ability to stand strong, it's not my ability. It's not my strength. I'm not doing it apart from him. This isn't, it is based on his strength. It draws me to him where I'm going to have to say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. This is beyond me. We are all different. There was a really neat book title I saw the other day. It's kind of a long title, but it simply says, everybody is normal until you get to know them. You got your little quirks. I got my little quirks. And after you get to know somebody for a while, you get to see what those little quirks are and different little things like that. Little things and edgy things and limits and chips and shoulders, just little different little things like that. And when you begin to assess your ability based on all your quirks, you're going to find some things push past your quirk lines and your personality lines and who you are. And you're going to find yourself like Paul saying, hey, this is no longer me who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. I would have never forgiven that. I would have never done that. It takes God in you to do some of this stuff. Your ability, your able to do itness comes from him who's strengthening you. It's going to come from him. And so this morning, what we're going to just talk about and minister along the lines of is simply what I'm just simply calling navigating the trials of life. You're in these trials, you're going through stuff, and it's different. It's different for everybody in every situation. But again, regardless of the trial, even though it's different, it's common. Different but common. So no matter what situation you're going through, it can be a lot of different things. We need to realize that there is a way of escape. We can navigate this trial. I like what the Amplified says, that he'll provide the way out, a means of escape to a landing place. He's going to provide that in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the test. So the first aspect of navigating the trials of life is simply to know that you have a compass. You have a compass. 2 Timothy 3:16 puts it this way. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God. We say a compass. I don't know if you've ever been lost in the woods or not. I have been lost in the woods. And that is a very unsettling feeling. Because you're in the woods and you in your mind think that you know a direction. You just kind of, you really believe where north is, and you begin going that direction, and all of a sudden you feel like, I know I've seen that tree before. I saw that clearing. Am I going in circles? In your mind, you think you know what's straight by your own natural sense. And you realize that when you're lost in the woods, you need something beyond your own natural, quote-unquote, gut feel. You need a compass. You need something on you that's not guessing. Something that's solid. Something that's true. When you're in that trial, you're in that woods, and it's hard to tell what's north, south, east, west. You need something secure. And that's, praise God, what we have in the Word of God. You know, a big part of the promise that he will never leave you or never forsake you is the fact that you've got his word right here with you. It's not just a feeling or a zap or a warm glow. It's the fact that he's right here in his word. You can pick up your Bible and begin to read. You can begin to find, praise God. Well, as I'm looking around in the woods of this trial, there's a lot of things I don't know, but there's a few things I do know. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, except that which is good for the use of edification. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. These are solid. These are true things. This is true north, regardless of whatever else is going on in the woods. There are some things I know for sure. I have a starting point. I have a compass. I have a direction that I can go in the Word of God, in the midst of my trial. You understand, when you're lost in the woods and you got that compass doesn't tell you exactly. I mean, now we've got, obviously, the Navigator GPS systems where you can look at the big map and finally see exactly where you're going to your destination. The compass doesn't show you how to get to your destination. It just shows you the direction of your destination. It's a general, it's a high-level look. And that's what we've got to realize as we're kind of lost at times in the trials or the woods. And these can be different kind of woods, can't there be? There can be the woods of just your own reaping of the flesh. You sow to the flesh, you're reaping of the flesh. Things are going wrong, and you know why they're going wrong, and things are in a mess, and, you know, stuff you've done. Okay? Thank God for the compass that he is faithful. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, get my heart right with God. These are some things that I know I can do. You know, there's also the woods, if you will, of just sometimes just those powers and principalities. You can just feel like, man, everything just seems to be going wrong. Ever have one of those days where it just seems like you're hitting all the red lights, so to speak, or things are just like the timing is just off on things. You know, and sometimes you can just feel kind of an agitation and just that accusation. There's powers and principalities. There can, you know, the Bible says the enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he roars, that's not a real natural voice that you're hearing out here. He's roaring thoughts. He can roar. Have you ever had, it almost seems like fear roared in your mind? Hatred roared, bitterness roared, anxiety just roared. That's what he'll do at times. It's like, stop, how do I stop the roaring? You know, there are going to be seasons. The Bible says, having done all the sins, stand in the evil day. There's going to be seasons of woods where you're going to feel that. Different kinds of demonic attack. Other times it's just going to be relationship, people issues, different things where, you know, people can yield to the flesh too, not just you. People can, and that can create woods in your life. And Lord, how do I handle this? How do I walk in love? I can't control everything. I can't control another human being. I can control my thoughts and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ, but I can't control their thoughts and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What can I do here? There's woods. There's a trial. Things seem murky, vague. Thank God, in the midst of the murky, the vague, the woods, the wilderness, regardless of the source or the origin, we have a compass. We have a compass of this word. And this word, these aren't just poetic, soothing words to make you feel better. This word is powerful. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amplified again, for the word of God speak, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's why the power of the word of God, it is like a compass. Because when you just get in your head and your emotions and you're feeling what people think, you're gonna start circling those familiar clearings and trees. But when you get in the word of God, it has a penetrating view. There's something about it. In your mind, you can begin to rationalize fear and, you know, just wonder, maybe I, you know, all of a sudden that scripture comes up that's living and powerful. It says, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And it penetrates thoughts and points you in a direction. Points you. The word will point you to where you need to go. It'll point your frame of mind. When you're navigating the trials of life, that's why the word is so important. The word is so wonderfully important, gloriously important. This is where it can be very powerful too. You don't have to be a Bible scholar when we talk about the word and getting in the word. And I'm telling you what, one of those great things you can do too is you can even get like a precious Bible promises book where you can see the promises of God's word categorically laid out. And you can just begin to encourage yourself in the Lord by looking up that category, what to do in times of fear, anxiety, you know, hatred or temptation of the flesh, different things like that. And the compass scriptures will be right there. And you can begin to read them and declare them. And they will begin to point you in the right direction, help you navigate. Because when you look and you're in your trial, there is, like we said, there's a compass of the word, but that's not the only compass that's out there. Romans 12, 1 through 2 puts it this way. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you're in your trials, a lot of times these are inflection points of which compass am I going to follow. You see, there is a compass of the word, but there's also a compass of the world. The compass of the word will transform the way you think. The compass of the world will conform you to the way the world goes. It'll conform you to the ways of your flesh and your passions and your desires. So there are, we'll put it this way, there's multiple compasses that you have to choose from when you're in your trial. There's a whole world that'll sympathize with you in a way that'll cultivate a victim complex and deepen bitterness and hurt and pain and drive you down. It's not pointing you in the right direction. There's another compass that will say, even as God in Christ forgave you, so all you also must do. Forgive. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, except that which is good for the use of edification. That's a transforming, not a conforming. Transforming. Praise God, there's a compass here. I need to get, is it a big deal which direction you're going? Yeah, the direction's going to determine where you're going to end up. And let me just put it this way. If you don't like where you're at, sometimes you got to take an honest look at which compass you're looking at. You don't like the direction you're going? You know, the Bible talks about in Psalm 1, the path of the sinner. In Psalm 23, it talks about leading us into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So there's two paths. And you got to say, okay, what path am I on here? What direction am I going? Am I really following God's compass? If I am, what scripture am I standing on? Hold yourself accountable. God, I want you. I need you. I need to navigate out of this mess, but I need first things first. I need to know where true north is. Like I said before, I've been lost in the woods. For me, it was when I was a young boy. I was probably about 12, and I was my first, second year up deer hunting with my dad, my brother, and I was going to go on my first drive. Now, if any of you are deer hunters, you know what a drive is. Basically, you drop off a few guys on one side of the woods. They kind of walk through the woods. They might hoot and holler, just make some noise or fuss, while you got the other guys on the other side of the woods right there ready to get the deer. And so you're kind of spooking the deer in a direction for the other hunters to be able to get them. So it's almost like a football play, you know. You've got the strategy in your deer hunting. And so I remember my first big drive and just standing there with my dad and my younger brother, and he's saying, okay, Ed, now you're right here, and I want you to wait till 12:30, because then at 12:30, you know, set our clocks, watches, and 12:30, I'm going to have you go straight, you know, you're going to be going, you know, due north here, and just keep driving, keep going. And he said, you know, by about, you know, 12:50, you should run into me on the other side. And he said, you know, if you ever get lost, you know, all you got to do is look at that compass, because I had my compass pinned to my orange jacket here. And he said, all you got to do is just go due west, and that'll take you out to the road, you know. And, you know, it's one of those things I thought, okay, whatever, just my first drive, and excited, and I'm, you know, I waited, and okay, it's 12:30, and then here I go, and kind of hooting and hollering, and doing my first manly drive, and with fear and trembling, of course, is my first one. And, you know, sure enough, it's like 12:50-ish, and he's just nowhere to be found. I'm going, oh, no. And there wasn't snow that year at that time. I couldn't backtrack my tracks, which I've done before when I've gotten lost in the woods. I can just backtrack. Didn't have the snow to backtrack on this time. And so I began to, with my own understanding, with my own ability, which I am able, to try to get out of this trial, to try to get out of this mess. And I'm kind of looking back. You know, you begin to look back, and you try to size things up in your eyes in the woods without a compass. Your mind plays tricks on you. Like I said, I thought, okay, you know, I've been here before. I must be going in circles. And then I thought, I'm just going to keep going a little bit further, and just nothing, nowhere. I mean, to this day, I don't know the bird's eye view of really where I was. All I knew is I was lost. And things looked kind of strangely familiar, trees, clearings, and just like, no, did I, no? And I remember trying to go backwards then and just saying, okay, I remember that tree and that. And pretty soon then I remembered my dad's words. He just said, all you got to do is just go west on that compass, and that'll take you out to the road. And I said, okay, here I go. And just that little compass bubble, I just kind of turned around, and okay, there's west. And so I'm just going to go west. And so I just began to go west. And again, it's the same thing too. And you're just going west by faith. You can't look at those trees and those markings anymore. You can't look at those familiar things. You know, that's the same way it is with God's word. You can forgive, and you can do things according to the word of God. You think, well, I've done that before. I've done this before. Just keep staying with it. Just stay with the word of God. Regardless of what it seems, of familiarity and those things, just stay with, I like the word of God, like Andy's word, just staying in that place of worship. Not vibing anything or feel, just stay there. That's the kind of tenacity you got to have with the word. I'm going to stay with the word of God. And I remember just staying, you know, going west, and I would just kind of pick out a tree, and I'd just walk to it, and then another tree, and walk to it. And it was really cool, because before I ever saw the road, I heard the road. I could hear cars driving, going, oh, yes, yes, I'm close, I know it. And you know, that's the way it is too, even spiritually. But you can even perceive the breakthrough. You can sense things breaking before they're officially broken. And you know you're on the right path and the right track, and you just keep going and going and going and walking it out. But it's like all those distractions try to get you off of what the compass says to do. Praise God. Forgive. Walk in love. Grace. Standing on the word. And I remember just, you're going there, and all of a sudden just going a little bit further, and I could just see that familiar road that we came in on. And then I knew all I had to do at that point was I just could just walk down the road to where we went into the woods. I mean, it was a no-brainer at that point. But compasses are like that. They force you to have to walk by faith. And all you get is not the luxury of your precise destination. It's just the direction. It's just the direction. Do I know exactly how this thing is going to end? No. But I know the direction that I need to walk to get out. And that's a lot of times what God will do. He's going to show you. He's going to give you a direction. And thank God that we have a compass. We have the compass of His word. And to stay with it, to trust it, and know that he is going to get you to where you need to go. And thank God for the different compasses that we've been able to enjoy, you know, as full gospel churches, enjoying the fullness of the Word of God. You know, there is a compass of the authority of the believer where you resist the devil in the name of Jesus. There is the authority of the stripes of Jesus where I can believe God for healing when I'm sick. There's a compass of stripes. Praise God. You know, a lot of the political stuff that we've made theologically over sickness and things like that, do I believe God heals? Do I believe God doesn't heal? Or even prosperity and different things like that. You got to understand that God put those promises in his word. It's not just about, you know, healing isn't just did I get it or I didn't get it. Healing is the way we resist sickness. You know, it's not like, do I believe in healing for today? It's beyond that. If you don't want to get sick or stay sick, you got to resist. You resist with healing. Healing is a powerful form of resistance. No, in the name of Jesus, by the stripes, even when symptoms come, no, the compass is wholeness and health. That's my compass. That's what I'm standing on. Praise God. If I've got fear and agitation, no, the compass is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's north. That's true north for me. You got to get calibrated to the Word of God and let the Word of God be your compass in those areas and not tolerate and put up with junk that's not in line with the compass of God's Word. Prosperity and poverty. No. The compass is prosperity. The compass is having all sufficiency in all things, abounding toward every good work. That's true north for the New Testament Christian. Praise God. That's got to be true north. If you're trying to impress people with your humility, you're going to be wandering in the woods. No. Have all sufficiency that you can give. Be blessed and be a blessing. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So sparingly, reap sparingly. So bountifully, reap bountifully. That's compass. That's God's word. That's truth. These are truths of God's word that we stand in and we know. In these areas, even the controversial areas that we have all this political junk, you better know true north as it relates to the compass of God's word. Because that's going to be what you need to get out of some of these forests. If you're going to be patty caking people to theologically look humble, you're going to stay in the woods. At some point, you're going to have to get out of the woods, but you're going to have to follow the compass of the word of God. Amen. Praise God. You have a guide. Praise God. Not only a compass, but you do have a guide as well. Thank God. It's good to be able, man, it's one thing to be lost, but boy, if you're lost with a guide, you're never really truly lost, are you? He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You have a guide. I love this. I love the language that Jesus uses as it relates to the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Romans 8:14 puts it this way, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that God is with us by the Holy Spirit. And he has come to lead and guide us into all truth. Boy, this is so important when you're in the woods. You know, when I was in the woods, those trees and that clearing, they didn't teach me anything. The woods didn't teach me my lesson. It was the compass that got me out of the jam. It was God's word that got me out. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. If you ever learned anything from a test or trial, it's because the Holy Spirit showed you something out of it. He taught you. He gave you revelation and insight. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. So when I'm in a test and a trial and I'm in the woods, I'm not woods-oriented, I'm God-oriented. In my trial, I'm looking to God. If I feel lost, no, Lord, I'm found in you. I'm looking to you. Praise God. Whatever I have ever learned as a believer, as a Christian, I learned it from the Spirit of God. He showed it to me. In the midst of the test and the trial, he revealed it to me. In fact, he has led and guided me into all truth. You understand? It's not even 10% trial, 90% Holy Spirit. It's all Holy Spirit. And he deserves all the glory for everything I've ever learned. God deserves all the glory, 100%. And I thank God. People have been in the same trials as I have and have died. And I thank God that I've had the Holy Ghost to help and lead and guide me out. The trial is not the inherent teacher. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's the one who's leading and guiding you into all truth. Why do I say that importantly? I know people have theological split hairs over this, but it's important when you're lost in the woods to know where your help comes from. I'm not looking to that tree for help. I'm not looking to that clearing. I'm looking to God. I'm saying, Lord, help me. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging him, and he is directing my path out of this mess. I'm God-oriented. He's my friend. That's important. That is so important. Because if you don't keep that strong God orientation in your friend, pretty soon you're going to stop looking up to God and say, why would God let me be in this mess? Why did God let me be in this trial? And then you're not looking up at all. Then you either have to change compasses or look around at some different things. What are we saying? We're talking about navigating through the trials of life. If you're going to navigate, you need God. You need his eyes. You need his spirit. He is a guide. He is there to guide you out of the mess. He's there to guide you out of the woods, regardless of the woods. If it's a woods of your own making, of somebody else's making, or just a demonic attack, irrelevant. He will guide you out of those woods. But you're going to have to look to him, listen to him. I love what the scripture says here in 1 John 2:27. It says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you and you will abide in him. Again, the Amplified. But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you received from him abides permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you, but just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in, live in, never depart from him, being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do. Praise God. Again, the reason I've learned things in my trials, because the anointing that is abiding, he's taught me all things. He teaches me all things. Even if you're learning something here this morning from a Sunday morning ministry of the pastor for the equipping of the saints, you're not learning it from me. You're learning it from the Spirit of God. There's a lot of pastors that stand in a lot of pulpits and say a lot of things, but it's the Holy Ghost in you that bears witness to truth. You understand? I can stand up here, and just because I'm standing up here on a path doesn't mean that I'm saying everything true and just right. The Spirit of God in you is going to bear witness. That's right. That's good. That's true. That's the Holy Ghost in you. That's not your wit. That's not your cleverness. That's the Spirit of God in you, showing you things, teaching you what's God. Yes, it's like a resonation in the inside. Yeah, that's good. Yep, that's right. That's good. That's the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And he's in you. Remember the old days, and you guys were all old enough here to remember in the mid-90s when we tried to connect to the internet? You'd have that dial-up connection. Oh, and you had that grinding sound. Like fingernails on a chalkboard. But then you get connected, you know, you're connected. Sometimes we can almost get that mentality toward God. Am I connected? Am I connected to God? Well, thank God for the nowadays. What do we have? We don't have to dial up and get connected at times. We are always on high speed. Amen. Praise God. When God put the Holy Ghost in you, it's always on high speed. Now, in the Old Testament, the anointing would come upon him, and it would be, you know, connections here and there. But now, you're always on. It's there. You don't have to try to get connected. He's in you, leading and guiding you into all truth, always on. That's powerful. That's an important, it's an important perspective, you know, because, you know, when it comes to, let me just kind of go into just kind of the next scripture here, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, Amplified, looking away from all that distracts,
That would be the trees, the forest, to Jesus, the compass, who is the leader, the guide, and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. You're looking unto what you've got a guide, but you're looking unto that guide. I love that. He says, the author and the finisher of our faith, or the perfecter, the maturing one of our faith. Is the trial the perfecter of my faith? Jesus is the perfecter of my faith. The trial doesn't finish the good work that he began in me. The one who began the good work in me, he's the one who's going to complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the finisher of my faith. What am I saying? In the middle of your trial, in the middle of the woods, you need to be Jesus orientated. Your eyes are on him. And as he leads you out, praise God, he gets all the praise and the glory and the honor. Jesus. This is important. You have a guide. Jesus. And I kind of like to say it this way. It's kind of interesting because, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with Annie's word again this morning, just about that place of worship and the Lord just telling her to stay there. When you're lost and you want to know God's location, you need to fellowship. Stay in his face. Stay in the Lord's face. What do I mean by that? I mean pray without ceasing. Continual flow, continual fellowship. Just stay there. I have found that pray without ceasing fellowship communion with God is easier than to just have a daily devotional, whether it's morning or evening. We can put so much hype and emphasis and pressure on the devotion time. He didn't die on that cross so we could have a 20-minute devotion time in the morning. It's to restore fellowship with him. I've done it both ways. I've done it always. Now, I have a regular daily devotion time. I still have it blessed, and it's good, and I'm not putting it down. God uses it powerfully in my life, but let me just say this, especially when you're navigating to get out of the woods. I mean, I have found that it is harder. It's harder to keep that daily devotional time because if I get busy or if I sleep in, I feel bad because I missed my devotion time. When I'm in the mode of continually talking to him, and I realize, oh, I haven't prayed. Oh, praise God. Just pick up where I left off. Hey, Lord, praise God. Hallelujah. We're praying all the time. My devotion time is all the time. So I never miss my devotion time. I'm just always praying continually. Oh, there's such a religious pressure we can put on ourselves. Again, it wasn't for a 20-minute devotion time he died on that cross. You got him. He's in you. Always on, 24/7. You don't need drum rolls. You don't need curtains. You don't need anything. You can just start talking. No condemnation. Man, I haven't been talking to God for 15 years. No problem. Just start talking now. Not even dramatic. You just come and just begin talking. Oh, Lord, I feel this way. I feel that way. Yeah, you know, I just, boy, it seems like hit my mother. So I'm telling you, you just begin to talk. What is faith? It's believing he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Keeping that always on connection. Always on. He is always on toward you. He has never given you the silent treatment. Never. Even when you sin and you miss it, you're the one who creates the silent treatment. The enemy comes and yells in your ears. God doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want to hear you. Of course, we know it's written, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But we're the ones who stop talking, and it feels like he's giving us the silent treatment. He isn't. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Just start talking. Give me something to respond to. Don't make your devotion time this big, complicated, spiritual thing. Just start talking. Just talk. Talk. Do you know you're thinking all the time? You're thinking all the time about something. A big part of renewing your mind is when you just begin talking, continue. Pray without ceasing. It's a continual flow. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. Obviously, there's discretion and you're not. You know, Jesus even talked about street corner praying to be seen of men and win prayer warrior points. I'm not talking about ego stuff. I'm just talking about heart stuff. I'm talking about you're going through something. Are you going through it alone or is your guide with you? Are you by yourself in this? You sure can feel that way. You just stop talking. You've got to start talking again. It doesn't mean that you've got to have the perfect prayer figured out ahead of time to say what you think he wants you to hear. Just begin talking from your heart. I feel this way. I think this way. Lord, I'm frustrated with myself in this. Help me to get through this, Lord. I know your word says this, and I come against this. Is there something? Am I missing it? Am I going in a direction? I just want you to know I love you, Lord. I love you, and I believe in you, and I'm compass scriptures. Praise God. It'll keep you accountable. It's harder to sin when you live in a continual awareness of God. If you're just a 20-minute devotion time in the morning, and God isn't kind of real to you the rest of the day, be a stronger temptation to get off. But that continual fellowship. I'm just cultivating. I'm just learning in my own life more and more. I'm not turning off. It's always on. 24/7 high speed. Don't get dramatic about your devotion time. I'm telling you what. You go in your car, whatever, and you just begin talking to God. You're having a devotion time. You're talking to him. You're fellowshipping him. It's simple. Really simple. Really easy. And you never have to feel guilty, ever have to feel guilty for missing the devotion time. Just start talking. Praise God. Hey, Lord. Hey, hallelujah. I love you. Praise God. You know, his love for you does not hinge on that devotion time, whether you had it or not. He just wants you to talk now. Talk. Have an current, present, active relationship. If you haven't talked to him for a year, just start talking. He'll just pick up where he left off. Don't even feel bad. Don't even have time to feel bad. I'm just talking to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And if there's stuff I need to know, praise God, he'll show me. He'll lead me. He'll guide me. I've just found out there's so many things I don't have to have figured out ahead of time before I talk to God. I can just start talking, and then he'll bring me around to where I need to be. Thank God for it. Praise God. So, be encouraged. You have not only a compass, but you have a guide. You have somebody who's there, which kind of leads us to the next deal. Ask for directions. Think, well, it just kind of goes without saying. No, you have not because you ask not. You can be there in the woods with your compass, with the guide, but that's what Jesus said. He said, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask. Ask, seek, knock. It's not about what God knows. It's about what you're willing to humble yourself over what you don't know and ask God to give him something to respond to. He knows the way out. All things are naked and open before him. He sees the woods. He sees the destination. He's just waiting for somebody to look to him and to ask for those directions. Praise God. And when we do begin to ask, praise God. Here, we're going to go ahead and look at here in James chapter. It's kind of probably the classic trial, testing and trial scripture. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask the trial, who gives liberally to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. No, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Do I ask the devil? Do I ask the trial? Do I look at the trial for guidance, for wisdom? No. The trial is not the giver of wisdom. God is the giver of wisdom in the trial. Again, what am I talking about? A big part of navigating through the trials of life, you've got to be God-oriented. Your help is coming from him. Look at that. When you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. If any of you lack, this is what happens. When you're in the trial, you're lacking wisdom. There's something you need to know that you don't know. Where do you go for the answer? Let him ask of God. What are we talking about? Ask for directions. Father, I'm in a trial right now, and I need wisdom. And again, it's not the trial that's going to give me the wisdom. God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. I'm not going to romanticize the trial. I'm going to glorify God in the middle of the trial, and he's going to get me out. And when I'm through that trial, my testimony is thank God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's my testimony when I'm out of my trial. God, Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm asking you for directions. Again, there's two compasses. The world has a compass for you. The world has a compass that will get you on a merry-go-round of self-pity, and you'll be bitter at the church for being insensitive and not caring in people, and you'll look at all the failures of people and all those different little things and go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's a wrong compass. You can't use other people's failures as an excuse for neglecting the guide who's right in you by the Holy Ghost, showing you where to go, leading and guiding you into all truth. I've done it. I've been there. I know how easy it is to do. But thank God, something, someone on the inside says, no, thank God, I am going to listen. I'm going to ask God for directions. And Lord, you are going to get me out of this. And Lord, you are going to lead and guide me into all truth. And I'm looking to you for the answer. You are the author. You're the finisher of my faith. Praise God. You have given me the anointing that teaches me all things. And you are the one who's going to give me the wisdom to get out of this jam. If you're going to navigate through the trials of life, again, you've got to be God-centric. God is the answer. God is the reason. And I don't mean that in a trite cliche way. I mean, that's where I'm going in my fellowship. I'm looking to him. What does it look like when God gives you wisdom? That's James chapter 1. James chapter 3 shows us what that wisdom looks like when you get it. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When God gives you, when God responds to your questions, it's going to be sweet. It's going to be loving. It's going to be kind. It's going to be like a sweet, gentle shepherd with his sheep. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. You'll find rest for your souls. You lift that up to him. He's going to say, can I go here? Go there. There'll be paths of righteousness, sweetness, goodness. That's the way he is. That's his nature. And when you walk in the Spirit, you bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, long-suffering. You begin to look like him. That's the way he is. And so the voice you're listening to in the woods is not a sergeant yelling at you, rebuking. It is grace and tender. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He didn't even say theology. He said, my sheep know my voice. It sounds like this when you're lost. You think, I'm in a desperate situation. And you get a gentle leading. But this is serious, yes. Listen to your guide. That gentle little thing. He's not going to yell at you to get your attention. He's going to begin to show you things that are true. Praise God. Willing to yield. That's the way he sounds. And when you begin to navigate, here's the great navigation scripture in my heart, my Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God, that's kind of that little direction in your heart, rule in your hearts. Amplified says, let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. As you're navigating through, there's going to be a peace barometer. He's going to give you that wisdom. That's going to be, when he gives you this wisdom, it's going to be in line with the Word of God. You can say, that's right. That's right. That's right. You know, he'll correct you. You know, even though this is sweet and soft, again, there's strong correction I've received in this sweet wisdom. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I've been, yeah, oh, yeah. Praise God. And it's right. And you just begin to take it step by step by step and just walk out, you know, one step at a time. And that's the way he'll do it. I kind of close with this. You know, like I've said before, I've used this analogy, but it's so clear in this, where I've said my dog in the backyard, we'll have one pole back there, he'll have his chain, he'll go around that pole just a half loop, and he's stuck, and he's barking and looking at me quizzically, how do I get out of this jam, my fix? And I'm just thinking, you know, Sam, just go around the pole, just go around the pole. And I just like, that's, he just gets no idea, that's complicated to him. So I have to go out by the pole, and I'd say, okay, Sam, just come over here, and come over here, and then he runs up to the door, and he's all excited. He's free. He doesn't know why he's free, but he's free. And what did he do? He just followed the guide, just step by step by step, you know. And here we are before God with our big problem, and he's kind of doing, we're around our pole. That's common to man. You can Google it. Find millions and millions of occurrences. And thank God, he's just saying, okay, come to the scripture. Come, just pray about this. Cast that care. Forgive that person. Just keep going. just keep going, then praise God, oh, I'm free. But I got to be God-centric, don't I? I'm not looking at the tree or wondering how, if there's a romantic thing. There's nothing. It's just God. He is Lord of all. He's finishing my faith. He's guiding me into all truth. He's completing that which he's began in me. I'm fellowshipping with him all the time, always on, connected to him. It's just, it was so freeing to me when I realized this wasn't about a 20-minute devotion time. This is about a life, 24/7. If I had not had a devotion time with God for 10 years, well, I'm just going to talk to him for 10 minutes. Well, that's done. Praise God. I'm back on track. That quick, that easy. You're always on. He's in there. He doesn't want a show. He doesn't want drama. He doesn't want anything special. He doesn't want you to make it special. He just wants you to pick up and start talking. That's grace. That's faith. That's humility. We put all the other drama stuff on there because we feel like we need it. We're adding something. We're adding nothing to what he did on that cross. He did the heavy lifting so we could have that simple, quick, free access. We can come boldly through the new and living way that was brought through his blood. Praise God. Navigating the trials of life. You have a compass. That compass is the Word of God. You can't trust what you see. You can't trust what your natural eyes are telling you about those trees. You got to look to the Word of God to find out where true north is. Again, it's not getting you, it's pointing you the direction you need to go. You have a guide, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who began this good thing in you. He's the one who's going to finish it. And as you do, you got to look to him continually, 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 continually. Like I said, a pray without ceasing, continuous relationship with God is easier than a 20-minute devotion time in the morning. It's harder because you might miss that thing. And you keep score and keep track. And there's a lot of people that are very proud of that devotion time. I'll tell you what, it's bigger than a 20-minute devotion. It's continual flow. It's easier. It's easier to live for God with a continual flow than putting all the pressure on whether you got that devotion time in the morning or not. I'm not saying don't have them. Have them. Have them. Great. I do. I have my own. But my pressure is not on that. It's bigger than that. If I miss it, I'm always in fellowship. I'm always talking to him. Always, 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 always. You can use that devotion time sometimes to get you off the hook for not having to be plugged in the rest of the day. Subtly. Let's stop that. No, I'm always in fellowship with him. That's just extra time. That's just extra undivided attention time. But it's always. Nothing romantic or dramatic. I'm just always in fellowship with him. That way, the emphasis isn't my devotion time. It's him. It's Jesus. And then finally, ask for directions. He knows what we have need of before we ask, but we have to ask. And when he answers you, it's going to be pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, good fruits. There will be a peace that will kind of guide you. You know, it's just like, oh, yep, nope, oh, nope, I know. I'm not going to violate that peace. It's peace, peace, peace. The peace of God. That's in line with the Word of God, in line with his words. Praise God. And you just know it. You know it on the inside as he begins to navigate you step by step by step around that pole, back out of the woods, and in that open place. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. Jesus, you said that you wouldn't leave us orphans. You wouldn't leave us comfortless, but that you would send the Helper, the Holy Ghost. Praise God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the greater one who is greater than he that's in this world. You've given us your word. It's powerful. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we will never, ever be alone again. No matter who does what, I will never be alone again. You are in me. Never leave me. Never forsake me. You don't get scared during my trials. You don't run off. You're there. Oh, Father, we love you. Thank you for being there for us. Make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are with me, navigating me through the trials of life. You're not afraid of my trials. You've given me a compass, the compass of your word, true north. No matter how I feel, no matter how confusing it looks, there are things I know for sure. I can start there and walk in the right direction. As I do, I look unto you, Jesus. You're my guide. I want to fellowship continually with you. May this relationship never be limited to a devotion time, but a continual flow of my feelings, my ideas, aspirations, frustrations, every thought into captivity to this beautiful relationship, acknowledging you in everything. You love me. I love you. I trust you. I ask you for the wisdom I need. And if I get any wisdom out of this thing, it's because you gave it to me liberally and didn't withhold it. I give you the praise and the glory for taking me through, for causing me to triumph in Christ. Jesus, today is my day. The day I look at that cross and call upon your name. I believe you died for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, you love me. I receive that love now. I receive eternal life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God.